The Old Testament scripture reading is from Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 6. All of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs and Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is giving out, and there's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall." Also, our enemies said, "Before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and kill them and put an end to the work." Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, "Wherever you turn, they will attack us." Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes." When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to our own work. From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. And each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. But the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. The New Testament reading is from Mark 8, verses 27 to 33. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked them, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." May God bless this reading of his holy word.
Don't you know that would get your attention if Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan"? Good morning. Book of Nehemiah. We could read that every day and get something new and fresh and pertinent to us, to our lives, to our relationship with God. This morning, I'd like for us to know that Jesus is calling you to be his intimate ally. What a responsibility, huh? It's interesting to remember that we only know what we've experienced. And if we deny a fact, it's only because we haven't experienced it. Think about that, because that's true as far as your relationship with Christ is concerned. If you're here this morning without a relationship, an intimate relationship with Christ, if you do not realize that you have been called to be an intimate ally of Jesus, then know that that is a fact. And if you don't realize that this morning, then it's only because you haven't experienced it. I struggled with a thought, and it really wasn't all that great a struggle. But there's something that I want this congregation to know, and that is this, that as a unit, as a body of believers, you have an effect on the world. And I'm going to share something that someone posted on because you're a part of this. You're very much a part of this. And so I'm going to read exactly what this person had to say. And by the way, this person is currently using this testimony that you have helped him to develop in Southern California, in juvenile hall, and speaking to 250 juveniles that have been incarcerated. This is a testimony that will change lives. And it reads like this. All of my life, I have done nothing but ruin things, harm people, whether physically, emotionally, or mentally, destroy my relationships, ruin opportunities, neglect my responsibilities, and live selfishly. I brought shame to my family and treated them like dirt. I ruined my friendships, and I always looked to gain something from them rather than just being selfless and loving them for who they are. All around, I treated people terribly. But because of the love and grace of Jesus Christ, I no longer do those things. I'm no longer the same man that I was. I have been made new by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and I have been set free from the old ways of life. I say these things for this purpose and for this purpose only, that you'd know that it is because of Jesus that I am who I am today. Hallelujah. And amen. It's vitally important to, as I've mentioned on several occasions, to reflect, to anticipate in retrospect, because these are those occasions that come from your communication with Jesus Christ. And when we lift one another up in the body, things begin to take place. Barriers are broken down. Necessary walls are built. Have you ever heard this statement? What this church needs is or maybe this statement might catch your attention as something you've heard. I can't believe our government officials. or maybe this one. Our schools are in really bad shape. And then, of course, those statements are always followed by somebody ought to do something. Wow. I guess I could just say amen and quit. You know, complainers, self-proclaimed prophets, and armchair quarterbacks are all around us. It's easy to scrutinize and to analyze all the problems of the world. In our own community, and even in our own church, I've heard comments. Names are mentioned. This person did. This person acts. This person says. It's easy for us to do those things. How many know that it's much easier to focus our attention upon the negative than it is upon the positive? One person said, I never say anything about a person unless it's good. And boy, is this good. What we really need, church, today are people who will not only recognize a problem, but we need people that will do something about the problem. And I want you to know this morning that you have a crucial role to play in God's plan. And it requires more than just hearing about it. It requires a personal commitment. It requires involvement. And so this morning I'd like us to look at Nehemiah and what he was able to accomplish. And as we do, I'd like for us to consider his thoughts, his procedures in the contemporary church, in this body of believers. Nehemiah saw a problem and he was distressed, but he didn't wallow in the grief. He didn't say, oh, poor me, why would I be called upon to do such a thing as I'm responsible for now? He did something about it. Think about these things now, and again, apply them to the contemporary church, and more specifically, the Church of the 49ers. Nehemiah heard God's call. He established his own reconnaissance. He consulted and conferred with a colleague, those of right mind and of like mind. He considered the cost. That's important. He laid out a plan. He made preparation. He demonstrated leadership. He turned the attention of the people toward God's plan. He assigned positions. And he prepared for the attack of the enemy. That's vital. We have to know that when we accept Christ, that we have just immediately developed an enemy who is serious in destroying everything that we believe and everything that we are when it comes to knowing Christ. He ignored all possibilities of failure. Have you ever had the experience of, I know you have, a loved one, you've been praying for that person for a long time, and somehow the person seems to get worse. It just doesn't seem, it seems that there's nothing that happens as far as a relationship with Christ is concerned. The tendency is to say, well, I don't know, maybe that person's just not going to make it. That isn't what Jesus said when he said, it's finished. I've conquered it all. I've taken care of every sin that you've ever committed. The blood of Christ is continually flowing and cleansing you from every sin you will ever commit. And there, of course, requires that, Father, forgive me. I like that scripture that the psalmist used, and we read it this morning. Create within me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Wow, I love that. I have it scotch taped to my desk. And that's a desire. After all of these things were accomplished by Nehemiah, was the time when he went to work. And 52 days later, the walls had been established. The walls had been destroyed, and the scripture tells us that that God's people, the Israelites, were ashamed. They were embarrassed by what had happened to the walls of that city. And Nehemiah. Nehemiah said, I've got to do something about this. And so he went out and stumbled over the rubble, the shambles of this wall, so that he could get an idea of what the job was really going to require. And that's so important for us to know beyond the shadow of doubt what it is that's required of us in satisfying God's plan. And it isn't done by our own strength, our own knowledge, because Luke tells us in Luke, the 11th chapter, the Holy Spirit has been with you, but he shall be in you. You have the power of God resting within you as you call upon him. He said, ask anything. The qualifier there is in my name. And he said, it shall be done. You know, it's at this point that I'm reminded how different similarities can be. There's a 21st century similarity to Nehemiah's endeavor in this, that too often we have a tendency, or there are those who have a tendency, to come into Christianity and jump into the enthusiasm and the excitement of knowing Jesus without considering the cost. There's a price to pay. But the joy of that relationship so far overrides all of the negatives, that we can even discount those things that are disturbing to us and just consider the overall picture and say, it's God that I'm dealing with. You know, and oftentimes, instead of considering the possibility of ridicule, the possibility of discouragement, the draw of temptation, we have a tendency to retire into a position of complacency. I'm a Christian, and I go to church. Yeah, and so you see, every time, my thought is every time we look in the mirror, we should say to that reflection, you have a crucial role to play in the plan of God. It isn't that person's responsibility, or it's my responsibility, and I have a crucial role to play. Today, you stand in one of three positions. You're either a conformer, a reformer, or a transformer. Now, the conformer, he can be a Christian, because I've seen those that don't really do a lot for the kingdom of God, but they have accepted Christ, and I'm not judging one way or the other, but I would assume that their relationship with Christ, what it amounts to really is that I'm going to continue my life, but I'm going to add Jesus on to it. That's a conformer. Now, and when I say that, I want to just explain a little bit about conformers, reformers, and transformers. First of all, a conformer acts within the prevailing standards, attitudes, and practices. A reformer seeks to improve upon the prevailing standards, attitudes, and practices. But a transformer seeks to start over. A transformer seeks to make a complete change so that new standards, new attitudes, new possibilities become the prevailing mentality. God has created the church as a transformer. This is that place where people are welcome to come in and come to know Christ as a personal Savior and on a personal level. But we have to move beyond hearing to see that accomplished. These builders that Nehemiah was dealing with were of singleness of mind. The walls that they were determined to rebuild had been lying in shambles for 70 years. They had lived with that for that period of time. But a man, listening to the voice of God, he said, we can't do this anymore. This can't be as it has always been. There has to be a change. Church, if my allegiance And my total commitment is to a person or to a group. It's become obvious that I need to be restored to Christ. It was their joy, the joy of the people that Nehemiah was leading. It was their joy and their togetherness that became their strength and their stronghold during both good times and bad times. Their lives had been changed. I noticed as I was reading through the book of Nehemiah that when the opposers, when those who would ridicule his efforts, his thoughts, his plans, and there were numerous nations involved in that kind of thing. But every time, those ridicules are followed by, and Nehemiah prayed. Church, important. Their lives had been so changed that it was now necessary for them to rejoice as they had never rejoiced before. And so it is in the contemporary church. There's no room, church, for negative. When malicious gossip begins to filter through a congregation, no matter where they are, it needs to be stopped. We talk about people when they fall, when they stumble, and we have an attitude about them. Well, let me tell you what the scripture says about that. The Apostle Paul was writing in the 6th chapter in the 1st verse of Galatians. And he said, "Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back into the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself." It goes on to say there, if you think you're too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You are not that important. Another translation, the Apostle Paul said, if a brother is taken in a fault, don't mention his name, her name, throughout the congregation as being one who has failed in a matter. Paul said, if a brother is taken in a fault, restore them. You have been given, church, as believers in Jesus Christ, you have been given the power and the ministry and the message of reconciliation. You can restore. You have that power through the power of the Holy Spirit to restore one who has been taken in a fault. James also referring to this very thing. He said, my dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings the sinner back will save that person from death and bring about the forgiveness of many things. Jesus' presence and ministry provided opportunity to establish us in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven, that being the presence of God. We have been established there. That's our strength. That's where we live our lives. And we can reach out and touch those who do not have that joy and bring them into that fellowship and communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. That purpose carries with it not only an opportunity, but it carries with it a critical demand. And that critical demand has consequences. Church, you have a crucial role to play in God's plan, because the fulfillment of that plan is imminent. I've come to realize over the years that if restoration has not resulted in a changed life, then revival is nothing more than enthusiasm. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Church, today's not just another day. It's a day in which the power of God is manifest through you in that crucial role that you have to play. I like what Ronald Reagan said. He said, "Can we resolve to reach, learn, and try to heed the greatest message ever written? God's Word and the Holy Bible. Inside its pages lie all the answers to all the problems that man has ever known. And more importantly, an introduction to relationship with Jesus Christ." The key verse in Nehemiah, in my opinion, is this. Nehemiah said, "Then I told the people about how the hand of God had been upon me. I told the people about my conversation with the king, and they replied all at once, 'Let's build the wall.'" You have a crucial role to play. You've satisfied it. I gave you the testimony of a young man who is sharing your testimony. They're receiving it through him, and souls will be born into the family of God because of it. Satisfy your role. It's crucial. Amen.